This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, here we go. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here, 105 through the fan. And Dane Brugler from The Athletic has 10 storylines NFL scouts are following this week at the Senior Bowl, as the Senior Bowl is off and running. I feel like draft coverage now officially starts, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to measure it, Senior Bowl time.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts for everybody unofficially when your team is out,
mm-hmm.
if you're like us. But there's no doubt it's officially started for everybody once all the teams and the scouts and the media and the players all start to get together in this small town of Mobile, Alabama. Jeff, you've been there a time or two.
I have been there. The last time that I went there, when I was checking into my hotel, they gave me the key, and I went out and checked into the room, and there was an open Mountain Dew on the dresser and another one next to the bed, and there was luggage that was open with dirty clothes on the floor, and I went back downstairs, and I said, guys, I think you gave me an occupied room. And they're like, no, not at all. Just take the stuff out.
they just forgot it. It was some extreme athletes. They had to run.
Yeah. So I was like, how about just a different room?
Yeah.
How about that? And we worked that out. It was great.
Wow. Talk about. So it's got that small town feel.
Yeah.
Definitely a small town type of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives me, memories.
Like, it's yours. You have new clothes if you want.
I was like,
it.
No. This is two people's things strewn about, including snacks.
I'm pretty sure they're just out to dinner, and they'll be back at any time.
At 3 a.m.
Okay, but here they are, the top 10 topics from Senior Week. Number 10, who is the best small school prospect in Mobile? Last year, it was Titus Howard and Nasir Adderley. The year before was Darius Leonard and Dallas Goddard. Obviously, Carson Wentz has been a small school prospect that blew up Mobile and then has had a good NFL career. This year, amongst your prospects, Dayton tight end Adam Trautman, 6'5", 256, ran in the 4.7s. And Dane says he's almost always the best athlete on the field. I love it.
Dane will find you a tiny, tiny school tight end where when you get a hold of the tape, there's bounce house in the end zone. Dane's good for one a year, so that's the one this year.
Yeah,
I think when Jeff showed me Tariq Cohen a few years ago,
uh-huh.
I think somebody behind the end zone was working on their pole vault. Like it was like I was like, this is like it doesn't even look like a high school game that he's running in here, and I think there's somebody working on their pole vault while the college football game is going on.
You have like one set of bleachers on one side of the field, yeah. And then the other side is open to whatever sort of track and field stuff's going on. It's a multi-use facility here at most. Division III and NAIA outposts. Number 9 here, which late call-ups to the Senior Bowl will be impressive? Some players turned down the Senior Bowl like A.J. McCarron did probably 8 years ago. And that actually was the move that opened the door for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I guess that would be 7 years ago. This year, a few last-minute additions that could stand out here. Michigan State edge, Kenny Willekes. And he's been proving doubters wrong his entire career, going from walk-on to one of the most accomplished players in Michigan State Spartans history.
Okay, good. I've been in search of defensive ends that are good, and maybe he is.
If you're not going to spend money on Robert Quinn or Michael Bennett, you can't really look yourself in the mirror and say, we got a good chance if you don't do more at pass rusher. Tank's going to be, what, 29?
Yeah, I mean, by himself.
Your defense could be atrocious. Yeah, he wasn't even by himself this year, and you saw how defenses are good at accounting for him.
They'll probably just blitz more.
Hey, there we go.
I do think that'll happen. I think that'll be a Mike Nolan thing where they'll say, hey, we're actually going to blitz. I saw a little chart where it shows league average and where the Cowboys are and where Green Bay was with McCarthy, and they're not close. They blitz more than average. Cowboys significantly less than average, so maybe we'll get a little party going.
You know, I think the important thing is to have awesome players.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
Just wanted to go out on a limb there and get on the record as believing in that. Number 7, after Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, who is the next best senior quarterback prospect? Wazoo's Anthony Gordon, trying to build off the Minshew mania and do his own thing, or OU's Jalen Hurts? There's so-so buzz on Hurts, writes Dane, maybe a top 60 pick going in. That's what he is hearing. And I guess based on what I heard on the KNC Masterpiece, there are people going with the Jalen Hurts should change positions take.
That doesn't work.
I think Heggie went viral.
It doesn't work. He can't. He's not.
Just doesn't work for players. Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, what's like people have tried it.
It worked for the Terrell Steelers. Rutgers quarterback, Steelers wide receiver. It wasn't Hines Ward, was it?
Slash.
Cordell Stewart?
He's after. I'll look it up.
Oh,
Randall L.
Yes, yeah. Antoine Randall L.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
And like Matt Jones, the old Arkansas quarterback, played receiver in the league. Which Nebraska quarterback
we drafted
played
one
safety?
In the fourth round probably 15 years ago, maybe less than that, the Cowboys from Washington, and he couldn't play wide receiver. Isaiah Standback? Standback, yeah,
oh,
there you
Isaiah
go.
Isaiah Standback. Yeah. Yeah, like, but here's the thing about Jalen Thanks. Hurts.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is not athletic enough to play a different position. That's why when I saw him answering that question at the senior bowl, I'm like, who's the idiot that asked that?
Mm.
If you really thought, like if Lamar Jackson's right hand fell off and it was like, oh, he can't throw a football, but it still functions to catch. Could he play receiver? Probably. He's that athletic.
Probably could, running back.
Right. Maybe a running back. But yeah, so could some of the super athletic quarterbacks transition to something else if they can't throw it one off? Yes. Jalen Hurts is not that. Like they were running a – they basically used him as a power running back. And the numbers ended up okay, but if you watch him play, I also don't think he throws it well enough, so he's in a weird spot. So whoever picks him, I hope for the best because by all accounts, he's a great guy that works really hard and maybe he can find something, but he's not going to be able to play a different position, and I don't think he throws it well enough to be quarterback.
Would you be upset if in the third or fourth round the Cowboys took him to be their backup quarterback? Would you say that's a bad pick in the 90s or early 100s?
I guess it would be okay. My problem is I think the OU offense helped him so much. Because
he's got great leadership, though.
He does. But I think that he's slow processing what's happening, and I don't think he throws it well enough, and I don't think he's athletic enough to play another position. And I'm a Boomer Sooner guy. I don't know what Jalen Hurts does in the NFL.
Late day three pick, probably? Something like that?
Somebody will go earlier.
Okay.
Somebody will.
Well.
Yeah, so he'll get a paycheck, which is great.
Okay, number six. Now here we go with the Cowboys defensive lineman. Which pass rusher leaves Mobile with the best scouting buzz? We're going over Dane Brugler's top 10 Senior Bowl topics. Aside from the QBs, the most popular position at the Senior Bowl is the rushers. It's a loaded position with a lot of talent, writes Dane. Who will rise to the top? And this is one's a lot of fun for the Cowboys here. You got a couple of names here to keep an eye out for.
Does he count D tackles? Because Javon Kinlaw is already destroying the Senior Bowl, apparently. The South Carolina defensive tackle, who if he makes 17, I'll campaign for the Cowboys to pick him.
He did that in a different one. This was just edge players.
Okay.
Jonathan Greenard at Florida.
I was watching him this morning.
Michigan's Josh Uche and Utah's Bradley Anae are guys that could have tremendous – pass rushing buzz coming out of the Senior Bowl here once we get to a Monday morning. Five prospects seeking redemption after a disappointing 2019 season, and included on this list, UT's Colin Johnson. He fought a hamstring injury all year, did not hear nearly as much about him as the previous season, and maybe that's one of the reasons the UT offense was stuck at times, but Colin Johnson and his NFL value. What do you think, Jeff?
I saw his. I saw some videos of his one-on-ones today, and he looked really good. I've been scared off on the big receivers over the last few years, but if he can run well at the combine and if he does well in Mobile, I think it'll help him a lot because people know that he's huge and he can make some ridiculous catches along the out of bounds, and he can go up and get a ball. But if he can consistently look like he's a good route runner and he can run a 40 that says, hey, I'm a 4.5 flat or I'm faster than that, then Colin Johnson could be a second round pick.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, he always looked super talented.
Devin Duvernay's at the Senior Bowl, too. Both the Texas guys are there.
Because that's number four. Wide receiver talent is the best it's been in years. And that's coming off of 2 years ago. The 2018 wide receiver class was insane. It was like 10 guys deep. So Dane's saying this class even better, and he talks about a ton of guys in here, but four of them played right here in Texas. A&M's Courtney Davis at 6'2", 204 with a 4.46. Baylor's Denzel Mims, 6'3", 211 with a 4.48. Should both be strong testers, but their lack of route discipline and rhythm could be exposed this week, writes Dane. And then SMU's a wide receiver, James Proche, there with the 5'11", 193 and the 4.5 speed. And then Devin Duvernay there at 5'11", 209 with the 4.45. How do they perform in one-on-ones versus corners on the outside? A lot of very interested eyes getting a look at those guys against a lot different kinds of competition than what they've seen from them so far.
And Michael Pittman from USC is there. Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. It's a really, really good group. And this is probably the way it's just going to be going forward because college has turned into so much spread and so much throw. And I think now, as a youngster, if you're the best athlete on the field, some of them may play quarterback, but I think wide receiver is – running back used to be the sexy position to play, but I think it's wide receiver now because teams throw it so much. We're just going to have so many great prospects that this might become the norm, but that's an incredible group of wide receivers at the Senior Bowl.
I mean, if you're really athletic, you can make guys miss and you can catch. Even if you're shorter, you're like, Dad, let's just work on routes.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a running back. I assume some young players and their parents are savvy. If you're thinking, let's go to college, you're looking at what's happening in the NFL right now, and you're like, we could go corner, we could go wide receiver. There's a lot of different things before we settle at running back.
I think what's tough for kids is, and for parents, I get to touch the ball 20 times a game.
Yeah.
If I'm a wide receiver, I touch it two, maybe four. Maybe they throw it to me two or three other times that, you know, I can't catch it. And so it goes to like baseball. Why do kids want to be pitchers and catchers and shortstops and first basemen? Because they know they're going to get in the action. And I think, to your point, I think you make a great point. I just wonder when your kid is 9 or 10 and an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah.
Like, I want to run the ball because I know that they're going to give it to me 20 times today.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe I'm way too involved as a sports parent as I am already in girls soccer. But if I was the dad, I'd say, okay, if your team wants you to play running back, that's fine. But when we're at practice, when we're going to camps, we're telling those guys we're a wide receiver, you know? And I would obviously you gotta, you know, have a kid that's special, you know, maybe like a young Kavanaugh running around and running through everybody.
Yeah, that was special.
Okay, number two here, top 10 storylines coming out of Senior Bowl. The top five non-quarterback Senior Bowl prospects are, number one, Javon Kinlaw, the name you mentioned there, the defensive tackle from South Carolina. Houston offensive tackle Josh Johns. Wisconsin's linebacker Zach Bond. Number four is Arizona wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who you mentioned. And the number five is the OU defensive tackle Neville Gallimore.
Mm-hmm. So, seen him.
Who knows how much that's going to change here over the next a week or so.
It all changes. It all changes all the time. But, man, it's fun that it's draft season.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then are you Team Herbert or Team Love there? Jordan Love or Justin Herbert there as the next QB after Tua T and Burrow?
I don't know yet because it's become tradition because Broadus hates quarterbacks that we would watch them last. And so I haven't watched them on my own either. I'm just carrying on the tradition of saying I hate quarterbacks because they're tough.
Well, we don't need one, so
it'd
be a waste of time.
Same thing. It's like, hey, Jeff, what do you think of the offensive line? Don't know. Haven't watched one yet. Watched a lot of DNs, a lot of D tackles, a lot of corners, a lot of safeties, and a lot of wide receivers.
Okay, let's go around the NFL coming up next because Brian Broaddus is going to join us at 4:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hey, Brian Broaddus is going to join us here coming up in 20 minutes. You're 20 minutes from Brian Broaddus. Right here, we're going to go around the NFL. Segments brought to you by Nutrisystem and by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Let's do it. Let's go around the NFL. It's brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Might have to go into the Pimp Cup for the latest on this. I have not found a video feed of this story. My internet's giving me some issues, but it started earlier this afternoon. Cameron Wolf of ESPN reported that Hollywood, Florida police are investigating Antonio Brown for possible battery at his house. There's been an active scene at Brown's home with police determining whether he is going to be charged or not. He is, as far as I'm seeing from this story here, he has not been arrested so far. It appears that someone at his home was injured. And the only other detail I'd had so far, Lucius, was that maybe a delivery driver or somebody was assaulted. They think there was a fight between Antonio Brown and another man.
I got the same thing you got. And my only update is I've seen police officers taking photos of some gentleman outside of Antonio Brown's house.
TMZ Sports, I believe, said it was a mover.
Yeah, there's definitely a big moving truck out there.
Yeah, so apparently he may have
assaulted. You pushed the mover?
Yeah.
What are you doing on my yard?
Well, you know, I had a situation myself. My
don't
best friend
had a situation.
Don't keep
stuff
with this guy.
Don't do this.
Even if you're Even if you're right.
Okay, let me just make a statement then about movers in general. Okay. They are careless with your stuff.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes your stuff won't be there. I think that is a very, very common story.
Stole my sound system one time.
Okay, see? Yes.
Yep. And some bottles of tequila.
Movers are notorious for this kind of stuff, especially if you pack up your stuff and then give them your gear and then they take it to a warehouse and then drop it off at your new stuff. You know, if you're just going point A to point B, those two movers, like two guys in a truck, those guys are cool. But the cross-country movers, they will break your stuff and steal your stuff, and they'd be like, prove it. I think it was broken when you put it in there. So maybe Antonio Brown had one of those situations.
Nope, Gavin. You did wrong. That, your previous part was a freestanding, nothing to do with Antonio Brown's story about movers.
Shouldn't have linked it. No links.
And now also, Antonio Brown currently, apparently they'd like to arrest him. And he's like, nah.
Okay. Oh, he's saying no to the arrest?
I don't know. That's the insinuation I kind of got from TMZ is like they'd kind of like to arrest him for felony battery. And he's kind of like, nah.
They've been at his house for over an hour.
Maybe he won't come out.
So at this point, he's holed up, right? That's when you say that?
Stop. Don't do that. Stop. We don't know. We don't know that. No, chill out.
I do think it's
like the police are like, well, he said no. We got to go, guys.
It is so not going to end well for
we
Antonio
asked him,
Brown.
We're like, hey, we'd like to arrest you. Nope. And they're like, well, guys, he didn't say yeah.
And then this is the same police department who last week he ticked off.
Yes.
And they gave him his money back and everything. So I don't know. Are they doing extra law enforcement because they have a personal issue with Antonio Brown? Or I don't know. It's hard to give the benefit of the doubt to Antonio
Brown. Maybe he
Brown.
Beat up a mover and they're there because he beat up a mover.
That's very
he's
possible.
He's an insane person.
Yeah.
Somebody said maybe it was the repo guy. It's a great show and they fight the repo man. It's a great show, by the way.
Yeah. That job takes some serious cojones. I don't want to go into anybody's property and hook up a tow truck.
Nope.
Flying
you would
out
have
there.
To have a firearm, right?
Well, yeah, but
and then you would have to shoot people all the time.
That would be the
they're
worst.
Come out of the house, like, no, you're gonna take my car, and you're like, I know, but legally I can, and I have to, and it's my job. And they're like, I'm gonna beat you up, and you're like, I also can't fight you, but I do have a gun.
Yeah,
and I don't want to shoot you in the face, but
I mean,
what do you want to do?
That sounds like I don't know if there is a salary or a wage that could justify that in my mind.
Million and a half.
Per year, yeah, I'm on that.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I thought there wasn't a number.
I didn't think a realistic wage.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was thinking that's probably decent job there. $28 an hour, something hazard pay, something like that. But
What if the whole world really backed off of like, you know, the wages that are expected for every job because of the income from it, and then we just backed up and said, let's just base it off degree of difficulty.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the repo man's making millions.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy deserves
shot over a Ford Focus.
Right.
You gotta pay me.
And the people on bowl committees are making $6 an hour.
Yeah.
Probably got high mileage, hasn't had the oil changed in seven months.
Getting shot over this.
Around the NFL is brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Here's Mike with second down.
Well, I'll take it. One of Antonio Brown's former teams that he didn't play a regular season game for, the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas, and I find this article amazing because I want y'all's opinion on being a fan of a sports team and if you guys could do this. They're getting a lot of the Black Hole fans from the Oakland Raiders. They're buying the tickets in Las Vegas.
How far
and they're
is
going
that?
To, Gavin, you know that. Is that a 6-hour drive?
From L.A. it's 6. I think from San Francisco, it'd probably be closer to 10.
Okay. Well, they're saying, well, they're kind of short flights from...
Oh, flights?
So, but here's the amazing thing. They noted that 40%...
9 hours, 5-minute drive.
40% of purchases of the personal seat licenses for the 65,000-seat stadium came from outside the state of Nevada.
Wow.
So they are getting a lot of ticket sales from California and Oakland. And so I just wanted to throw this out. If the Cowboys move to, let's just say, to San Antonio, they stay in the state of Texas, but they moved about a 4-hour drive. I don't know if I would be upset. I'd be like, no, I'm not going to go buy personal seat license in San Antonio. You're leaving us. You are.
Yeah.
You're abandoning us again. You guys went from Oakland to L.A., came back to Oakland, and now you're going to Las Vegas.
And
Las Vegas
that.
Is going to be permanent, probably.
Maybe I think you're right. But maybe for Raiders fans, they're so used to the franchise being transient. They figure it might come back in 5 years.
Yeah, hey, they went to L.A. and came back. But
normalized.
I just, I just find that amazing that a fan base would have a team leave and move 9 hours, not four, but nine. Yeah. Can you imagine if the Cowboys moved 9 hours away? Like, Memphis is a 7-hour drive, so I'm just throwing them in Memphis. Like, would you drive or fly to Memphis so you could be a Cowboys fan?
No, definitely not for 8 weekends a year. Maybe 2 for like the really awesome games. Yeah. Maybe they're going to sell them. You know, is this scalping?
It could.
So
it could
going to be a big secondary market.
Is that great news for Nevada though? That they're not getting the big sales from Nevada; they're getting the big sales from outside of the state.
I think that's a long-term play. You know, even in LA right now, with 20 million people, they're having a hard time even selling Rams tickets, and that team has been there, you know, over the last 30 years or so.
And if you are buying season tickets because you're going to become a Raiders fan because you're in Las Vegas, you're like, hey, we got our own team now. We can. Then, hey, you might want to read this article and find out where the black hole people are going to be sitting and make sure that you don't get your tickets near them.
I would just, yes, that's a good idea. I would be so disappointed, though, that it's the Raiders coming to town. I'd be like, no, I'm not joining that fan base. That fan base is a very specific brand. It's a different personality altogether. You know, I don't think just the average sports fan kind of gravitates to that thing thinking this is going to be perfect. They're like, what?
You're a bunch of weirdos.
It's a poorly run team, and it's damn near criminal. The brand is damn near a felony.
You're kind of right, but they like that brand. Yeah. Like, that's their brand. They have to keep that brand going, and the fans are like, yeah, this is our brand. We kind of break the rules.
Yeah.
And if we get arrested because we went too far, we get arrested. That's Raider Nation. And
we'll say hi to our relatives in jail.
I didn't know this, but they have like a black hole chapter. They have them in different areas because they have moved, because they have been in Los Angeles. They are in Oakland. They used to be in Oakland. And now they're starting the black hole chapter in Las Vegas. So I guess you can join, if you are a big Raiders fan, you can join the black hole chapter wherever you live,
sounds
I guess.
Terrible.
Yeah, and it's considered maybe we're just not close enough. I consider the black hole fans the really negative fans, the ones that get in fights, the ones that will just punch you because you're wearing another team's jersey.
San Francisco too,
and you don't want to be part of that group. The really negative ones.
Yeah, I don't want to be the ones that fight. I've never gotten in a fight when it comes to watching a Maverick game. I won't go to a Laker Maverick game really anymore. I went last year. But
I think in another life, on a different path, like if you had a different childhood and stuff, I think you would totally embrace that.
Yeah.
The leader.
Yeah,
you'd be the guy in the spike shoulder pads. 100%.
Yeah. Be terrifying, too. Okay, around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Here is Jeff with Third Down.
Okay, when Mike is locked into the Pro Bowl this weekend.
I won't watch 1 second of
on
it.
Whichever day of the weekend the Pro Bowl is played on.
Remember when that group of guys, when we were at the Arizona Super Bowl, wanted to go to the Pro Bowl? We're like, no.
And we were so...
I actually said yes, and then there was a line to get in through security, and that's when I was like, what am I doing? I don't want to go to this thing. And I was like, let's... And we went and ate some wings and watched basketball. It's like, much better.
And I was really debating, because it was like, oh, man, a good employee goes, right? What are we doing, right? Trying to gather audio with whatever Cowboys are there. And then I think it was Gavin was the first one who was like, guys, I'm not going. And I looked around and everybody else was looking at everybody else. And I was like, me neither.
Perfect.
It was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. Nice little afternoon fell together.
Yeah, that was, what city was that?
Arizona.
Okay, so they were playing the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl in the same city?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, at the Pro Bowl this weekend, they're going to try out new onside kick rules. So, Mike, as you are glued to your television.
I mean, there's nothing more than Pro Bowlers are probably going to go really hard after an onside kick.
Well, yeah, that's why it's going to lead to a – it's going to – no,
wait,
it's
you
not.
Want me to do what in a practice game? You want me to go as fast as I can for 10 yards and take out a dude while another guy tries to get the ball? We're not trying to do it.
That's why you listen to what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. So the onside kick that they're going to try is not an onside kick. I broke my headphones when I got mad at Mike. Look at that. Smashed a headphone on myself.
You deserve it.
Hurt my hand, too. So after a team scores and kicks their extra point, or after a team kicks a field goal, they'll have the following options in the Pro Bowl. Option one, you can say, all right, other team, your ball on your 25-yard line, you may begin your drive. Or you may say, hey, other team, get your defense ready, because we're going for it. And the onside kick will be one play from your own 25-yard line, and it'll be 4th and 15. If you convert, your ball. If you do not convert, it's a turnover on downs, and the other team has the ball wherever
you
are.
Oh, I love this idea.
I love it.
This is making football fun.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go, NFL. Don't even worry about trying it out. Just put the rule in. Because after an onside kick, or after a team scores, yeah, you're watching to be like, all right, they're going to kick onside. There's like a 3% chance they recover it.
Green light it.
But if your team scored and your quarterback is trotting back out, that is infinitely more fun. Just find the right distance that makes it a, what do we want the conversion percentage to be? Between 5 and 10%, something like that?
No, you want it more than that.
Well, you're going to start going for it all the time.
I want it
Patty
to be.
Patty and them are going to try to score 100.
I want it to be 20%.
Winners out.
Okay. If it's 20% for the league, do you think that makes it like 35% for Kansas City?
Maybe, yeah.
Do you think that they start going, hey, guys, new strategy. Defense doesn't play. You guys aren't going
to
play.
Well, you'd have to if you don't get it. They'd have to come out and it'd be first and 10 on your 25 there, so they'd only have 25 yards to go.
They're going
to
get it, and they're going to get it like three times in a row. It's going to be 28-0, and the other team's not going to get the ball. But no, whatever the right distance is, I'm in, and the NFL needs to do it. It would be awesome.
Well, what do you want the percentages to be? Because the reason they're changing this is because it went down to 8% chance of getting an onside kick. So I assume we want it higher than 8%.
I think somewhere between 10 and 15%, somewhere around there is the right number. Because you don't want it to be a legitimate thought if you're winning. And if it gets too much higher.
Don't worry. Most coaches are wusses anyway. They'll just kick.
That's true. It could be 30% and coaches wouldn't ever do it. So, yeah, whatever percentage you want. I like 4th and 15, though. I think that's a good number. You're going to get 15 yards.
Whatever the case, they broke it. They broke the regular onside kick. So, we need something different.
I want 4th and 10. That would, I think, get it to the percentage I wanted at.
Yeah, it probably would. I bet on 4th and 10, you would convert probably around 20%, give or take.
I mean, just incredible drama is waiting if you can get a team hot in the fourth quarter.
Wouldn't it make it more fun? You know, you're down by 14 points with 2 minutes and change to go. You score a touchdown. You're like, all right, well, now we're going for it on 4th and 10 instead of 15. I know they'll still go for it, but I want it more. I want it to be more kind of
you want
doable.
Super doable.
Yeah.
And in other Pro Bowl news, there was another injury replacement, and Xavier Rhodes, the Vikings corner, is going to be going to the Pro Bowl. And I just want everybody to know that Xavier Rhodes, when targeted, gave up a quarterback rating of over 130.
Oh, geez.
Xavier Rhodes was probably the worst starting corner in football this year, and he is headed to the Pro Bowl. So if you think that it is a reward for how well you've played, I think everybody already knew that it wasn't. But yes, it's a popularity contest. If you were good once, you get to go forever.
Look at God. Wow.
He was really good in 2016, though. He was great. 17, he was all right. 18, he was bad. And 19, he was terrible. And he's headed to the Pro Bowl.
Do you get a check or anything?
Yes. Yeah. And that's why we had to fix this.
It ain't
like,
right.
I don't know who's next in line, but Byron Jones, whatever's in his contract for going to the Pro Bowl, he deserves that check infinitely more than Xavier Rhodes does, but he gets the check.
He didn't brand himself.
Yeah. Xavier Rhodes earned it in 16.
It is winning time. How about you bust out your smartphone and take your shot at $1,000? Your shot is right now. Text the word May to 72881. That's May to 72881. Part of our national Turn It On, Leave It On contest here. That's your final chance for the day. More opportunities to win a grand. Pop it up tomorrow at 6 o'clock hour with Sean and RJ. Tune in. Coming up next, Brian Broaddus is set to join us. He'll give us the very latest on the Cowboys and maybe get his Super Bowl pick as well. We'll take a look at that with Brian Broaddus coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. A lot going on, G-Bag Nation. A Delonte West update is about to be broadcast in the D.C. area there. Prince George's County authorities talking about his mental health situation after a video surfaced that has everybody concerned for the health and safety of Delonte West. We'll get you caught up on that at 5 o'clock, as well as we'll talk about everything that Stephen Jones addressed at today's Senior Bowl availability. Always fun. When there's big Cowboys offseason stuff and the Senior Bowl comes around and we start getting updated quotes and thoughts on that. So we'll do that coming up at 5. Right now, though, time to talk with Brian Broaddus. He's at Brian Broaddus on Twitter, and he joins us Tuesdays at 4:40. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, boys. I'm with Fish in a car driving to the Mavs game. I'm getting my first indoctrination of Mavs basketball tonight. So I want to watch the Mavs and the Clips play, and you're going to go watch the Rick Parlow talk and kind of get a little bit, try and get my hands a little dirty and learn a little bit about this basketball stuff. So really excited about an evening here with the Mavs.
It's almost like you're becoming a well-rounded sports broadcaster, Brian. We salute you.
I'm trying. I really am. I'm trying hard. I had to figure out how to tape my stuff tonight for Senior Bowl coverage and stuff like that. I know Jeff and I have a trusted tape tomorrow, and I'm sure we're going to get into some Senior Bowl stuff, but going to watch that tonight after I watch the Mavs. But, yeah, just trying to do my best to kind of learn about everything I need to talk about this day and age.
Right on, Brian. Well, you know, speaking of that Senior Bowl, Stephen Jones was quoted saying several things earlier. It's his belief they have a very good team. Their future is now, and they are in their prime. Do you agree with those three things?
Well, you know what? I think that the reason they got rid of the coach was because they felt like they had a good team. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I'm one of those guys that, and I'll raise my hand, and I've been very vocal about it on the airwaves, is I felt like that I overrated a lot of the positions on this team. And I overrated some of the talent on this team. And whether they're talented or not, you know, I need to kind of, figure that out and really see, you know, what happens there. But, you know, I like what they've done with the coach and staff. I like the veteran guys that they brought in. I am a Mike Nolan fan. You know, I do like Jim Tomsula as a teacher. You know, I think there's some things that, you know, that they needed to do on this coaching staff to get some of this talent to play a little bit better. Again, it's not all about Yeti Cups and slogans and all these banners and stuff like that. It's really about going out there and teaching and, like I said, get your hands dirty, you know, and get these players to play, you know, at the capability of the level that they should be playing at. And so I like the group, and I'll see if, in fact, that they can take these guys and make them better than they are.
So the Cowboys coaches are not at the Senior Bowl. What does that mean for coaches? Obviously, I know what scouts and what Will McClay will be doing there, but what does it mean for the coaches not to be there?
They're throwing a big party right now in Mobile is what they're doing. The scouts are out there, yeah. I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and Mike McCarthy, I think, did a smart thing here, because what's happening is, and he's very fortunate because he could have gone to the Senior Bowl, and, you know, there's a lot of coaches that are looking for jobs, whether it's NFL coaches or college coaches, and, you know, he wouldn't have been able to have any type of evaluation. You know, I mean, people would have been coming up to him, handing him cards, shaking his hand, all this stuff, and trying to get a little bit of his time. So, yeah, you know, good to stay here, try and get some things together as far as the staff goes. You know, a lot of those guys are here, and last weekend was the first weekend that they had off. I was talking to some people in the building about that, and, you know, that's good. They need to kind of get their ducks in a row there, let the scouts kind of get an idea of what the level of talent there is at the Senior Bowl. And then when they come back, you know, they'll get the coaches on the same page, and, you know, the coaches will really start when after the combine, you know, when they go out and do the workouts and stuff like that, really the last month, you know, of the drafting process is when the coaches will really, really get involved. So, but from everybody I've talked to about what McCarthy did, he will back up. He will let the scouts do their jobs, you know, in a drafting situation. He's a guy that if he trusts what the scouts are bringing him, then he will not get involved like he, you know, like we've seen some guys in the past. So for Will McClay and the scouts, that's a good thing. But, you know, Will McClay and those guys got to prove that they can do the job, and you know, we feel like that they can.
How much do you said McCarthy may back off and let them do what they do, but how much do scouts resent coaches who don't? When it's like, hey, I'm going to come in after the combine, watch a little bit, and then change everything.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I've heard scouts say this, and you're talking to a scout that said this before. It's like, hey, I don't call third down defenses. So, you know, let me do my job and you can do your job, you know. And I think you have to have some back and forth about the players. I just need to know what kind of players you like. That's all I need to know. Just give me an idea of, okay, if I'm Jim Tomsula, what do you like in a defensive lineman? What do you like in the traits? You know, are you big on up the field? Are you a two-gap guy? How are you going to teach these guys, and what kind of players – you know, give me some parameters. And, you know, I feel like, though, that with Mike McCarthy coming out and saying, you know, we're going to be some variations, some 4-3 as our base, but we'll do some 3-4 concepts. We'll have some nickel package stuff that we do. You know, all I need as a scout is just tell me what kind of player you like. And let me tell you this, guys. There have been some players that the old staff might not have liked, and the Cowboys eliminated a lot of those guys. Well, now they might have to go back and say, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, this kid at Oregon, we eliminated because of this trait or trait. Well, now his traits are good for this current staff. So there's a lot of things that the scouts are going to have to go back on and say, okay, bring this guy back, bring this guy back, and bring this guy back as well. And that way, your board will be a little bit more of a conversation when we get time to put our boards together.
It's Brian brought us here with us in the G-Bag Nation. I saw Dane Brugler had Javon Kinlaw as his top prospect there at the Senior Bowl in Alabama. Is he the best player out there so far? And could you see him making it to 17 and being the Cowboys pick?
You know, it's funny. I saw Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, and he had him going at 23.
No. He'll go at 17 then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As soon as I was looking at the crawl, I was watching the NFL Network because they were going back and forth at the Senior Bowl and showing some, you know, clips and stuff. And I was watching that, and the crawl had him, I think, going at 23. And I was like,
25.
Yeah, was it 25? I knew it was somewhere.
He's got
in that
Delpit
range.
At 23 and
right.
Kinlaw
okay,
at 25.
Delpit, there you go. Thanks for correcting me, Jeff. I knew it was this 56-year-old brain sometimes doesn't get things straight. But
what happens?
Yeah, so they had a couple of guys in his first. Now these mock drafts will, you know, we'll get at 6 or 7 of them. So we got to kind of watch. But usually the first one you want to make your first good impression. And if he feels like that Kinlaw's going to get down that way, I just don't see how he gets past the Cowboys. I know, Jeff, you've watched him. I watched him myself. I mean, this is a big, disruptive man. The three technique, he's got power up the field. You know, he's a guy that throws blockers around. I don't know how you watch the tape and not feel like that he's not like a top 10 type of a player, you know, with his kind of ability, maybe top 12 player. But, yeah, if he gets down to Dallas's range at 17, well, let's all just write that name in, hand the card in, and we'll get to the second round at 51.
Who else is on your short list early on here as we've gotten started on draft stuff that you'd consider or like at 17?
Yeah, you know, I know we talked about a little bit, Jeff, about the safeties. Is Delpit going to be a guy? McKinney going to be a guy? You know, I think you have to figure these guys out there. I mean, I'm trying to gauge where the run of this draft is going to be, and I know I've got a long way to go, but I'm trying to get a little bit of an indication. Is it going to be heavy at defensive tackle? I know, Jeff, you've been tweeting out, hey, I can't find the edge rushers in this draft. You know, I know you're struggling with that too. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at that, okay, are they going to be able to grab a defensive end at 17? No, maybe it's going to be that defensive tackle. Maybe it's going to be that safety. Maybe it's going to be one of these wide receivers. This wide receiver class is going to be a lot of fun because you got guys at the Senior Bowl, and you know you've got those you've got guys that are seniors, of course, and then you've got juniors, the underclassmen that are part of this thing. So how you rank those guys will be a good thing. I was watching a little bit today. It looked like both the Texas kids were you know having a good go at it. Johnson, you know, was doing a nice job. Duvernay was having a good early start there too. So I'm interested in those receivers potentially there, depending on what happens with Amari Cooper in that scenario. And you know, but there's I think they're in a good spot. I mean, everybody wants to be in the top 10, top 5. I get it, but I think at 17 there is going to be a quality player there when they can hand that card in.
How you doing on Jason Witten, man? I know he had the catches and he produced half decent, but isn't there something to if you can't threaten the defense that you might run away or run through a couple of guys and score? How much are you really doing there with your 65 catches or whatever?
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of thinking that Jason Witten was going to be the guy that was going to convert a lot of third downs. You know, I thought he was going to be the 6 to 7 yard third down guys. And the Cowboys, when you looked at the Cowboys last season, on third, four to six was one of the worst in the league. You know, if you go back and look at those metrics and say, well, great, they were great, you know, third and seven and more, you know, they were one of the best. They were really good in, you know, third and one, two, or three, but then they get to that 4-6 range, and they were one of the worst in the league. And, you know, they just did not convert enough, and he was not involved in that, you know. And I was kind of thinking that, okay, 18 yards in, he's going to be that red zone threat. I know the first Giants game, had a touchdown there. I'm thinking, okay, this is how they're going to use him. But, yeah, it just didn't materialize like I thought that Jason Witt was going to do. And, you know, and be quite honest with you guys, you know, he was a liability as a blocker. You know, he just wasn't as good as he needed to be. And, you know, he's one of those guys that always relied on his ability to kind of hold, to work his hands, to body position stuff. And, you know, he tried. The effort and stuff was there. But there was just too many times where he got overpowered on the edge, and they had some problems when the ball was going to the outside that, you know, that edge got set, and he wasn't able to move the edge like he was able to do in days gone by.
Sounds like it's coming to an end, you think?
Well, he's talking about going to the Giants, I guess, you know, and he's going to make a decision, but I would be real surprised if he came back here. I would. But, you know, I've been wrong before about him. I was surprised that he quit Monday Night Football. I wish, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know, he always tells us about perseverance and working hard and it's in the dirt and all that stuff. And I figured he would get some help, you know, on his career of broadcasting and try and give it a second year. But he really didn't do that. He came back to the place he's very comfortable, or everybody calls him Gold Jacket Witt. You know, he tried it for another year. And, you know, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. I would like to feel like that, you know, that we could find a tight end in this draft at some point in time. I know the Tolos out there want nothing to do with the second round tight end, because that seems to be a disaster whenever that is the pick. But let's see what happens with this group, and maybe they can add a piece or two that way.
All right, Brian, thanks for your time as always. Have a good week, and we'll catch you up with you next time.
Sounds great, boys. Thank you. Appreciate you.
He's Brian Broaddus with us. Yeah, Jason Witten. Gold Jacket Witten. Goldie for short, you know, if you wanted to.
5 years from today, if you just shut it down, Jason.
All right. Steven talks. He does. Steven talked with us, with all the media at the Senior Bowl, and we'll give you the highlights on that, including what he says is the Cowboys' top priority now as the offseason officially underway here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.